Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
We're going to get to Matt LaFleur's endorsement of Jordan Love, his quarterback headed into the postseason against the Bears, as the show goes on. But just to close the loop, we've talked about John Harbaugh. Everybody's talking about John Harbaugh. Teams that still have coaches are talking about John Harbaugh, as Adam Schefter reported yesterday and talked to us about just a few moments ago here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe and I are in disagreement, though, about if Matt LaFleur were to become available and John Harbaugh was still on the coaching market, who would be more of a draw? Who would have more suitors? Gabe, give me your case for why you think Matt LaFleur would be the better candidate, the more sought-after candidate than John Harbaugh.
So let's say you're a team like Tennessee, like New York Giants, like the Las Vegas Raiders, who have the number one pick, and we assume that they are going to be taking a quarterback with that number one overall pick. If you've got a young quarterback and you've seen what Matt LaFleur did, reviving Aaron Rodgers' career, getting him two more MVPs, getting Jordan Love to where he is, Malik Willis playing as well as he has the last 2 years. Would you rather hire a coach that you know can develop that quarterback and then as the head coach and play caller is going to be there to continue the development? Or would you rather hire John Harbaugh, who, again, is a fantastic coach, but he's a CEO type. He's not coming in and running the offense, running those plays. So he's going to have to hire an offensive coordinator to work with your young quarterback. And then if that young quarterback has success, clearly that coordinator is going to shoot to the top of any list the following season or seasons. So now you've got to start back all over. And we know with young quarterbacks, constantly changing that voice is detrimental to their development. And again, with all the success that John Harbaugh certainly has had, I think a lot of teams realize, if you can, you want that play caller, which is why we see so many offensive head coaches in this league developing those young quarterbacks, because you know he's not going anywhere unless you decide he's fired.
I just think, Chewy, that the Super Bowl win by John Harbaugh speaks volumes. If you're talking about having somebody who has been there, done that, that is always going to be the trump card that John Harbaugh has against a candidate like Matt LaFleur. And he has also retooled, reinvented, re-earned respect over two decades. I think that there is questions about Matt LaFleur's ability to be what John Harbaugh is. You mentioned the phrase CEO. Chewy, you yourself have said some guys are good coordinators. Some guys are good head coaches. If you're looking for a head coach, John Harbaugh is the better option, at least if you are one of those people out there who have questions about Matt LaFleur's ability to adapt and adjust as a game rolls on.
I agree with both of you. I kind of see it as
Get off the fence.
No, but let me tell you
why. Come on, man.
I kind of see it as a push because this league, I think most teams would rather have an offensive-minded head coach than a defensive. But like you said, Jen, there's a lot of weight that goes with a Super Bowl win, right? And Gabe, you said it. John Harbaugh is more of a CEO. He's really not a defensive coach or an offense. He was a special teams coach when he was hired from Philadelphia under Andy Reid. But Gabe, you said it, CEO. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is a CEO. I do know this. When Aaron Rodgers was there, there was two head coaches. There was Matt LaFleur, and then there was Aaron Rodgers. Right? I don't know if Matt LaFleur can command a locker room like a head coach can. That I don't know. But, Gabe, I'm with you on your point with these young quarterbacks like Dart. The Raiders are going to – I mean, I would think Mendoza may be the first pick or probably be would. And Cam – what's his name?
Cam Ward.
And Cam Ward in Tennessee would probably be a better fit. I think there's places where – Harbaugh would be a better fit, and there's places where the
like Arizona, like you don't know what your quarterback situation is, and you unfortunately for the Cardinals, they weren't bad enough to go and get one of those top guys, whether it's Dante Moore, whether it's Fernando Mendoza. So maybe you want that CEO type because you're still transitioning, trying to figure out your quarterback plan.
100%, and I think that's a great example of somebody who a team, an organization that has been burned by. I mean, when you look at the scathing criticism of Gannon there, it was that he could not command a room. you know? And so oftentimes it's just like when you're in a relationship, you skew towards the opposite of what you have just dealt with because I know I don't want that. And I think a John Harbaugh there would make a lot of sense because he has that CEO mentality. He commands a room. He brings that respect in as soon as he walks in the door. So I still think that a team like that, to your point, looks at a John Harbaugh and says, he's our guy over a Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I guess I just don't understand the commanding a room thing with Matt LaFleur. Like, that was certainly an Aaron Rodgers criticism, seemed like. I mean, I haven't heard much of that over the last few years since Rodgers left, have we? That, oh, we don't know if he can stand up in front of the locker room and lead this team. I guess I haven't necessarily heard that coming out of
Green Bay. I'm not necessarily saying he can't do it. I'm simply saying that if I had to choose between Matt LaFleur and John Harbaugh as far as command an audience, immediate respect, immediate, wow, gravitas, my gut goes Harbaugh. And that's, again, that's if I'm looking between those two candidates. That's just where I would, that's where I would move towards. That's where I would be magnetized to.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, one of the criticisms for Matt LaFleur is he's too loyal to assistants. Seems like that's part of the reason why John Harbaugh also got fired yesterday. Some of the reports that, you know, the management had approached Harbaugh about, okay, Todd Monken, maybe it's time for your offensive coordinator to go. Harbaugh pushed back, and ultimately he got fired.
But Gabe, if they do lose, and decide to keep LaFleur, do you think there has to be changes?
Yeah, I think there's some new ideas. Like we talked about it a little bit yesterday, Chew. I think a lot of those offensive coaches, they should be talked about, whether it's getting rid of Steno, and I like know they like to promote from within, but it seems like Sean Mannion is just gaining respect by the day across the league as the team's quarterback coach, again, for being getting a little bit of that credit along with LaFleur for Jordan Love improving and seeing what we've seen out of Malik Willis the last couple of years as well, whether that's promoting him to OC or getting one of these other guys, right? Like, if Miami ultimately decides, hey, we want Harbaugh, and they're aggressive in pursuing him, and Mike McDaniel's out there as an OC, yeah, bring that dude in.
But right? I will say this in LaFleur's defense, okay, as a former player. I respect a coach that'll hang on to guys and be loyal to the guys a lot more than a coach that fires someone just to save your own ass.
Just to blame. Yep, shift the blame.
Like what happened in Washington. They fired Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, come on.
Well, come on. Well, but Chewy, that was a mutual parting of ways.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's just like I can't stand these coaches that save their own ass. Like, oh, let's fire this, as long as I get one more year of salary.
It's just funny, Chew, because, like, I mean, come on, mutual parting of ways. Like, somebody had the idea first, right?
Yeah.
Somebody came to the table with, hey, here's what I think, how we should proceed. Okay, I guess the other side eventually agreed to it. Somebody had the idea first.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream about this conversation. Matt LaFleur hasn't been around long enough to be considered better or equal to Harbaugh, but Harbaugh's teams have let him down as much as or even more than LaFleur's teams. That from Pete M. And then we have this reaction as well. Give me a second as I scroll. Yeah, but his Super Bowl was 13 years ago. He hasn't done anything since then. That's why I would take Matt LaFleur right now. That from Matthew. These on the YouTube stream. I think it is an interesting debate. It sort of is, what do you value or what do you think the league values now? Because to your point, Gabe, it is no question an offensive-minded league, right? Matt LaFleur is an offensive-minded coach. Heck, the guy played, was he wide receiver in college?
Yeah.
So he obviously, that's just his background. That's where he comes from. And you talk about John Harbaugh being a special teams guy. There was a time in the league where special teams guys were the hot ticket. They were looking at special teams guys going, oh, no, these are the
because
guys
they can
want.
Unify the locker room.
Absolutely. And but I will say this, to argue that John Harbaugh only has one Super Bowl, show me the list of multi-Super Bowl winning coaches in the league right now. It's very short. Are there any other current coaches who have multiple Super Bowls on their resume?
I think it's just Andy.
Let me ask you guys this.
So you're going to tell me all of the guys are garbage because they have one Super Bowl, one lowly Super Bowl? No, having a Super Bowl means a lot.
Let me ask you guys this. Because Harbaugh got fired because a kicker missed a field goal from a distance he normally made.
Correct.
What if he made that?
Oh, then Tomlin. So,
does Tomlin get fired? Because Tomlin only has one Super Bowl.
So my favorite meme that was going around the internet yesterday, Chew, and I know you did not see it as being somebody who's not online, but it was a picture of the field goal posts in Pittsburgh. And on the outside of the goalposts, it said Harbaugh fired, Harbaugh fired. And in the middle, it said Tomlin fired.
Yeah.
You know, that was the result. You miss the kick, your coach gets fired. You make the kick, the other coach gets fired.
Because their resumes are pretty close. I mean,
yeah.
They've been there late into the teens. Now, Harbaugh's had Lamar, right?
Yeah.
And ever since Ben left, there's really been nothing.
And even the last couple of years have been.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately it's obviously he gets fired because of the missed kick. But it seemed like there were reports out of there a couple weeks ago that the relationship between Lamar and Harbaugh was starting to fracture. It was starting to fray. Didn't look like it was the strongest, despite Harbaugh coming out and saying otherwise. And as great as John Harbaugh is, teams are always going to go, it's harder to get Lamar than it is John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So,
where's the best fit for him?
Harbaugh?
Yeah. Because let's just say, Gabe, I have my theories on the two teams that called. I believe it was, if I was to guess, I would say Miami and Tampa Bay.
I think that makes sense. Because they're kind of lukewarm on their guys anyway.
So add those two to the mix with the six teams that already have openings. Where do you think his best fit would be? Because Baltimore now...
New York?
I mean, Baltimore, would you guys agree that Baltimore right now is the best place to go?
Correct, because of Lamar. That's the best job. I think the place where he can have success the quickest is New York. They have the quarterback. If you can develop the quarterback, they've got weapons. Yes, they got injured with Scadaboo and Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. Their defensive line is really good. Like, if you use your resources right, I think the Giants can be a wild card team next year. If you get that offensive line better, make your secondary a little bit better, you can be a wild card team. The other teams mm-hmm. feel like they're further away, right? Like Vegas doesn't feel like they're close with the number one pick. Arizona's not anywhere close. Like, yeah, I feel like if he wants to have success right away, and he's 63 years old, so it's not like, yeah, I want to be part of a 5-year plan. I think he wants to turn around something pretty quick. Mm-hmm. The Giants make the most sense.
Hmm. What about Halfley to Baltimore? Are they going to go offense or defense?
Well, again, to your point, if Lamar has a say in it, wouldn't he go with
an offensive guy, maybe? Or if he really likes Monk, I have no idea. Everyone's kind of going Jesse Minter, the Chargers defensive coordinator there, because he's coached there before. But again, he's part of the Harbaugh tree at this point. I don't know if they want to separate themselves from that Harbaugh tree. I don't know. But the weird thing, you bring up Halfley, Chu.
Yeah,
and I know nobody can talk to Jeff Halfley this week because the Packers are obviously getting ready for a playoff game. And if you're in the playoffs, the only teams that can have coordinators talking for those head coaching jobs are the ones that got the bye. But I haven't seen anybody even report about a request to speak to Jeff Halfley yet. And I've seen some other teams where they've gotten those requests of, hey, as soon as the season's over, we want to talk to that guy. I haven't seen anything on Halfley.
Oh, well, I don't know who Halfley's agent is, but we know that the Green Bay is notoriously tight-lipped, so I'm not sure that it would squeak out of that camp. But I did see that Diana Rossini reported Halfley still on the list of desirable coordinators when she put out her coaching carousel assessment this past weekend. But yeah, I think we'll see. You know, I still think that for people who are interested in a defensive-minded coach, he is going to be a very attractive option. 800-990-3776. Let us know what you think about Harbaugh v. LaFleur. Look, LaFleur is not available. We were just debating if he were available. What direction do these teams that have openings go? Do they go with a guy like Matt LaFleur, who has had a lot of regular season success, no question, but has struggled in the postseason with his teams? Or do you go with a guy like John Harbaugh, who also has had a lot of regular season success, not as much in the postseason, but as Adam Schefter mentioned earlier, he is a guy whose distinction is he's won more road playoff games than any other coach in NFL history. Lots of stuff to debate there between those guys. Let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. Gabe?
I am excited for the end of the month, because the end of the month, January 31st, it is the Royal Rumble. And we at GKW, Good Karma Wrestling, the podcast that we do for Good Karma Brands, we are going to be at Potawatomi Casino Hotel for an elevated viewing experience of the Royal Rumble with wrestling legend Kevin Nash. That's right, Kevin Nash going to be here in Milwaukee at Potawatomi with us watching the Royal Rumble. So here's how you get in. Watch those favorite WWE superstars battle it out in the match of the year. It's going to be located in the annex of Potawatomi Casino, and you have to buy a ticket. And for $100 a person, you get to enjoy two complimentary drinks, an unlimited buffet access, a photo and autograph with Kevin Nash. You get access to the legend himself and Kevin Nash, plus $25 in reward or match play to your favorite games on Potawatomi. And you also get a shot at winning your own WWE Championship belt. Going to be some fun games. In order to win that WWE Championship belt, find out more, secure your spot today by going to Potawatomi's website.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think's a pretty good deal. Right. Which gets me in trouble. Right.
You got a Viagra ring?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Man, it's going to be nice to get Jordan Love back out there on the field. Watch the Packers take the field against the Bears this weekend and have Jordan Love as your quarterback. Yes, it has been a longer break than I think I would have preferred, but all the guys seem to be saying the right things about the rest. They all seem to be saying, we heard from Xavier McKinney yesterday talking about how they needed a mental break, they needed a physical break, and they feel like they're going to be fresh headed into that game Saturday against the Bears. Here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about his quarterback, Jordan Love, when he was asked about him being out there on the field.
I've got a ton of confidence in him, but it's not just about him. I think a lot of times, the quarterback is going to get too much credit when you win and too much blame when you lose, and that's just the nature of it. But I think that there's nobody else I'd rather have, than Jordan.
There's nobody else I'd rather have than Jordan. Chu, is that the strongest endorsement you've heard LaFleur give Jordan Love in their time together?
That's pretty strong. Pretty strong. I'll be interested to see how he, like I said, after an extended amount of time, it takes a little bit of time to get back into the flow. Hopefully, they push him hard enough in practice where he gets, I don't want to say comparable look, but as good as look as you can get. Now, I was just looking at the weather. Do you guys see the weather?
Yeah, it's going to be cold, a little bit of snow.
I saw a 90% chance of precipitation.
Yeah, snow. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of ugly. So we'll see. I mean, who would you definitively, would you say if it is slop, it gives the Bears an advantage when it comes to the running game?
No, because the Bears
they're
also
run the game, run the ball regardless.
The Bears are one of the worst run defenses in the league. So I think both teams are going to be able to run the football.
But one of the better rush offenses in the league.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. But
so
I mean,
kind
but with
of a
Josh.
Push. Yeah.
Yeah. With Josh. Push. Yeah. I think it's kind of a push. Yeah. Okay. I mean, who can stop the run better? Flip a coin, Chew. Neither one of these teams have been good at it.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's a good ringing. Well, what else is he supposed to say?
Well, he doesn't have to go that far.
I think those are two sides of the same coin. Which would you, those two sides of the argument, rather. What else is LaFleur going to say headed into an enormous game with a lot of implications, as we have been discussing this morning, about his quarterback, who, again, people were wondering, how long is he going to sit? How long is it going to be until we get Jordan Love back out on the field? There were certainly people who were pushing for Jordan to play some series in the game against the Vikings. That did not happen. And so there's a lot on the line here for Matt LaFleur, right, Gabe?
Yeah, and the big difference to me for Jordan Love, as well as Malik Willis played, you look back at that last game in Chicago, Packers struggled inside the red zone. That's where, to me, Malik is going to struggle. As the backup quarterback, not getting those reps, not being as comfortable when those windows get tighter, and if you don't have success then running the football, either himself or turning around and handing it off, then you have to make those tight window throws, and they just didn't happen for him in Chicago. So that's where I'm excited for Jordan Love, who's got a quarterback rating of almost 103. Inside the red zone.
You know what I loved about Jordan, though, watching him on Sunday, and I don't know if it got talked about, he looked like he wanted to play.
Yeah.
I mean, he had his helmet on the whole time. None of the other guys had their helmet on. He just looked like he was itching to get in there. So he'll be ready to play. I mean, I was reading what Belichick, and it was so true, he commented on the upcoming game. And he kind of likes the Packers, but he says when the Packers offensively are good, they're good. But when they're bad, they're bad.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Bill Belichick was commenting on the Bears-Packers game?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, head coach of North Carolina?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
Let me find it.
Oh God, I think I'm gonna have a better chance of finding it before you do at this point.
If I hit back, that should get me there, right? No, he did. He commented on the game, and I thought it was pretty spot on.
I mean, I just can't. Sure enough, here's what Bill Belichick said about Packers Bears. On the Let's Go podcast from SiriusXM.
Amazing, Chew.
You're welcome.
I had no idea that Bill Belichick had to. Don't we feel like Bill Belichick should be handling other things? Should be focusing on other things?
He was with Jim Gray. Green Bay's been a kind of unpredictable, up-down type of team. Seems like when they're on, they're really tough. And when they're not, they're not. So it'll be interesting to see how things come together for Green Bay. But give Chicago credit. They've had a heck of a year, especially offensively. I think if Green Bay can get going offensively, try to make Chicago play from behind, they could be in good shape too. But going on the road in the playoffs is always tough.
You know what's good is Jordan Love does play decisive football against the Bears. Look no further than that game. What was it, week 14? I always get confused because there's 18 weeks, but there's 17 games. So you've got to figure out which week it is versus which game it was. But I think he had like 120-plus passer rating in that game. One interception to three touchdowns. I do like the matchup for Jordan Love. I don't think Bill Belichick is wrong, though, that the Packers have been inconsistent this season. They have been up and they have been down. I know we have talked about this. Zach Tom back on the offensive line, Gabe, makes me even more optimistic about the protection that Jordan is going to get in this game.
He's their best offensive lineman. Like, that's huge. And that's huge in the running game, too. Because, Chew, what do you always say about teams that run? They run. They are.
Good.
Is this going well for us?
Right-handed. They're right-handed.
Oh, right-handed.
So having
your right tackle
back.
Which is true. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, that is payback.
Come on, man.
That is payback for safe. That's payback for safety boy. We're even now. It's a push. It's a push. But I want you. All right. Let's assume Adunze and Burton are back.
Yeah.
I want you to rank the top four receivers on the field, both teams.
Christian Watson's one.
Yep.
Rome's probably two.
We haven't seen much from Rome this year, have we?
Not recently. I mean, he was
good to start the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. And then the injuries really sidelined
him. But that was before Luther Burden and
who's three?
Loveland. I mean, three is probably Burden or Loveland.
And then Jaden Reed.
But I've also seen Jaden Reed play better than basically everyone on that list, so I don't know for sure, but
we haven't seen the problem is we haven't seen Jaden Reed play that way this year,
right?
Yeah,
like we know that we know that's there, but it just hasn't been there.
Where does DJ Moore rank?
Stay on the sidelines and quit quitting on your team.
Is that low?
Yeah, but would he be a push with Dobbs? Joshy,
I think he has a higher ceiling, much higher ceiling. It's just okay. I mean, he literally quits on his team.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just like give up on a route. We saw last year he just walked off the field as a play was happening.
Yeah.
Like you never know which guy you're going to get seemingly for them at this point.
Yeah.
Or he scores game running touchdowns like that.
Was that wrong? Walking off the field while the play was still happening. At least Rashawn Gary hasn't done that, guys.
I've wanted to do that before. Actually, I wasn't on the field. I remember I used to get so ticked off when they'd put Terrell Davis on go routes instead of me. Now, granted, he was faster than me, and it's a long route, but I still thought somehow I was better than that.
Tyrone Davis.
Oh, granted, he was. Yeah, thank you.
Tyrone Davis, just
granted,
to clean that up.
He was faster than me and probably a little bit more athletic. And yeah, I mean, it made sense why they did it. It still ticked me off.
Speed arrogance. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, speed.
Speed arrogance.
We will add it to the list of over 50 types of arrogances that now exist.
So to your point, Shu, do you think that if you had to rank the top five receivers in this game, Packers would have one of them? They would have two of them? It sounds like you think Christian Watson and Jaden Reed would be in there, but maybe the Bears get the other three?
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, Loveland is better as a receiver than anything the Packers have.
Okay, fair enough. But also Tucker Kraft was out there.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft. Yeah, but obviously. So
pass catchers as opposed to wide receivers for this exercise.
This game to me is just so simple. It comes down to two things, because I'll add one to the run game. It's how Caleb Williams plays.
Well,
if he plays like crap, you know.
I just keep going back to the red zone, because if the Packers were able to cash in the red zone the first time around in Chicago, the onside kick recovery means nothing, because you're putting Jacobs more points fumbled on there. Yeah, Josh Jacobs fumbling inside the red zone. Like, if the Packers have success in the red zone, and they went through a stretch there where obviously they didn't against Chicago, against Denver, but if they get back to what they were before that, and they're one of the better teams, I think they were top third in the league in red zone touchdown percentage.
Mm-hmm.
If they get back to that, that's going to be a huge advantage, because again, then you get in those late game situations and the lead is too large for them and they're running out of time.
Also, if Caleb throws you the ball, catch it.
True.
That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be helpful.
This is the other thing, guys, and we have talked about this when it comes to Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love all season long. There have been times when, Joshy, you in particular, have been clamoring, begging, just please God, take the reins off Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. Let him go out there and throw the ball. It's now or never.
Yes.
Right? This is a do or die game. This is a win or go home game, obviously. First game of the postseason. If you believe in Love the way that he seems to, based on that comment, nobody I'd rather have out there, where we started this segment, then this is the time you show it by letting him go out there and win the game, letting him orchestrate the offense, letting him see what the defense is giving him and play to his strengths. And I do think that Jordan, if given the opportunity, will play on schedule, will trust his arm and avoid the things that have gotten him in trouble occasionally and win the game.
All right, one more question for you guys. Do you think LaFleur looked at the Harbaugh firing, gets a little worried, and then he presses a little too much?
I don't think so. I think he's past that at this point.
You think so?
Yeah.
I have a take, and you guys let me know how you feel about this. I think
I was just going to let you give the take and then just sit here in silence, but okay, continue.
I think the Green Bay Packers need Matt LaFleur more than Matt LaFleur needs the Packers. I think he's in a spot with his contract negotiation where they're going to have a hard time keeping that price as low as they would like it to be. Because if Matt LaFleur says, I'll play it out, we're talking about him and Harbaugh, another Super Bowl winning coach being, we're like having to decide who's more valuable. That's extremely valuable. That's,
you mean from a leverage standpoint?
Right, right. I can probably, Matt LaFleur, if he were to be a free agent, probably can go get $17 million a year and be one of the top paid coaches in all the NFL because of what he's done in his time here. And we don't feel great about the things that have happened. He's underachieved, say whatever you want about it. But Matt LaFleur would be so good. Look at these other candidates. There's no Ben Johnson
that's the
out
thing.
There.
But Josh, I think the hangup is going to be more the years than it is going to be the money. I think that's going to be the fight.
I don't know, because the Packers, for all I've heard, are cheap, and they don't want to pay coaches.
I think Adam put it perfectly before. Don't mess around. If he's your guy, you go get it done. If he's not, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But if he's your guy, don't mess around. This is a good first test for Ed Policy and company in that front office. Go get this done. Don't let it linger.
And to your point about leverage, Joshy, if the Packers do go out and lose this game against the Bears, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What are you standing on, LaFleur? You're going to point to those Willis games? You're going to point to those Malik Willis games and go, but look how good I did. Look how well I coached up Malik Willis in those games, right? Like, that's not going to be enough to overcome losing to the Bears in the wild card round this.
He would still have the leverage, because everything would still exist in terms of how quickly he would get scooped up.
But again, to the money point, if the numbers don't match, you know, and again, maybe it'll be a win-win. Maybe Policy wants to move on from LaFleur, so he lowballs him. We've seen that happen before, Aaron Jones, right? And then maybe it's like, all right, go get it. Go get your money somewhere else. That's fine. We want to go in a different direction. You're going to go get your money. Everybody walks away happy.
To me, the we don't want lame ducks thing almost put them in a spot where they don't have the upper hand now. Because if Matt LaFleur refuses any contract extension, it puts them in a spot, well, we have to lame duck or we have to move on. If he says, no, I'm going to bet on myself, because I bet if you fire me, I can go make exactly what I want on the open market. And then at that point, you're in a really weird spot for the Packers.
I mean, I asked Jason this yesterday, and I just... If you cannot, if you go through your negotiation, you can't come to an agreement, you have to fire him. him being a lame duck does nothing for you as an organization.
But you have to do it quickly, though, Gabe. That's the thing.
You mentioned that as well, too. Yeah, because the carousel keeps spinning.
Yeah, but the carousel moves slower in the NFL. Remember, the Bears literally interviewed, I think they interviewed you last year, Chew. They confused you for your son, who's an actual coach, and they called you up to try to get an interview. That's how many people the Bears were interviewing last year before they finally hired Ben Johnson. It doesn't move as fast as the college game, where we see this happening in you know, you got to do this, the transfer portal, you got to do all these things. The NFL just moves a lot slower because, well, you can't talk to everybody right now. You wait until the season's over. Yeah, there might be a coach hiring or two before the Super Bowl, but a lot of this, it's not like it's going to be done by the end of the week. It's not like Harbaugh's going to be hired by Friday, you know? So I think, yes, you have to move with some sort of urgency, but I don't think it's as quick as we think.
I do like this reaction rolling in on the YouTube stream from Greg, who reminds us, I wonder if the Packers will have heat on the sidelines. We need to have our own heat source in Chicago. Last game, they took our heat, plus nasty hits, plus plus overtime with no heat. Matt LaFleur, make sure your guys have a heat source.
Do they have to bring their own?
If
you're worried about them pulling the plug out.
I believe the heaters are your own, but if you turn off the power source, then that's Michigan Ryan Day, when they were like, yeah, we expected something to go on when their power kept going out.
You hear about stuff like that. All of a sudden, there's no hot water in the showers, or the locker room is cold, you know, anything to get a competitive advantage. But yes, I do like the idea.
Didn't somebody one pink at one point in college?
That was Iowa.
Which, again, is so antiquated.
Well, and then Denver has, well, it used to have, when you walked in, it'd say, you are now 5,400 feet above sea level.
Just to remind you of the other.
Isn't there actual psychology to the paint being like, aren't like pinks and oranges like psychologically they are calming and they don't want you to be fired up.
Sure. That's what it was. It wasn't that pink represents girls or feminine or weakness. I read the literature as well. Oh, propaganda. Wonderful. Headed to Pottawatomie. You should be. And if you're going to a Bucks game, it is a great deal for you, because if you purchase something at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook or make a bet, you'll get a wristband. And that wristband is good for a ride on the shuttle headed to Pfizer Forum. Got to have a wristband aboard the shuttles. Wristbands are not required for return shuttles. Seating is limited. It's a first come, first serve basis. But what a great deal over at Pottawatomie. If you make a bet at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, you can catch a shuttle to Pfizer Forum. Pickup and drop-offs are right at the annex that is next to the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, but they try to make this as seamless as possible for you. So bet above the rest and enjoy a Milwaukee Bucks game when you make a bet at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
Take a break from Packers Bears, because I have a personal dilemma I need your advice on. Okay, it's 2025. No, scratch that. It's 2026.
Definitively not.
Off to a great start.
Yes.
Yeah, it is the new year. Was that the question?
In 2026, we have all of these apps that help us with all of these things. Maybe I have more than Chewy does. I think that's probably a guaranteed fact at this point. But on Sunday, I am out running errands. I am at the grocery store, just kind of trying to get some stuff done. And my husband was out and about doing some things as well. And he calls me as I'm loading up the bags at the grocery store and trying to, you know, get them from the cart to the car, all of the things. And I answer the call. I say, hey, what's up? He goes, hey, where are you? I'm at the grocery store. Why, what's up? He's like, oh, I just was wondering where you were. I said, okay, well, we have the Find My app on our phones, right? And I know some people have the Find My with their brothers, sisters, siblings, kids, whatever it is, spouses. I said, just check the Find My. If you're only wondering where I am, there's an app for that, to quote the old Apple ad. And he was like, well, sometimes I just like hearing your voice. And I was like, okay. But I'm in the middle of something right now. Like,
good
it's,
suck
it's
up.
All well, yeah. It's all well and good that you're just wondering where I am. But would you call me to ask, what's the weather like today in Mequon? Would you call me up to ask me, what's the score of the Bucks game right now? All of those things, the information is readily available at your fingertips. And for some reason, this is the one thing that we keep going back to. He calls me all the time, Gabe, and just asks, where are you? What are you up to?
Okay, so let's say you don't even have the Find My, right? Let's say you don't have that. Kind of feels like more of a text anyway, right? Hey, where are you? Instead of a phone call.
Yeah, again, my whole thing was like, you have the information at your fingertips.
Yeah,
at
I mean, he does. He does have the, yes.
Without having to reach out to, depend on anyone else, right? If he had looked at the Find My, he would have seen that I was at Sendix and, well, put two and two together. What am I doing at Sendix? Oh, I'm probably getting my nails done. You know what I mean? No, I'm getting groceries at Sendix.
Probably relaxing,
the
having a good time.
Of answers that would have been obtained just from looking at the app, to me, is infinite.
Having a pop or two.
And I can't, and we disagree on this wholeheartedly. He's like, what's the big deal? I just called and asked. And I'm going, right, but it takes no consideration of what I might be doing in that moment where I can't answer the call, or I would prefer not to answer the call, or whatever.
So I've talked about how when I call my wife, she answers the phone confused. Hello? Like, because again, like, why would I on earth be calling her? I feel if I called multiple times just to ask where she was, she'd block my number. Like, okay, now you've lost your phone privileges now because you're abusing it to call to ask where I am.
See?
When this could be, again, we don't have the location thing turned on our phones, but if I texted her, like, she'll get back to me. She's got the Apple Watch, that sort of thing. If I called that much, yeah, my phone privileges would be taken away, and I think she would block my number.
See, I'll take it in another direction. What if he was at Topgolf and he wasn't supposed to be at Topgolf? What's their golf?
X-Golf.
What if he's at X-Golf and he's like, if I call her and ask where she's at, then she ain't going to check to find my and find out that I'm at X-Golf. Because I've been busted before where I play golf with my kids and we like to have a few pops in the clubhouse and I'll say, oh, we're on the 13th hole. It's going to be another hour. Really?
Yeah.
Are you playing in the simulator in the clubhouse?
100%. Damn, those things are so accurate.
They're very accurate. Yeah, very pinpoint. When Daria's on the golf course and I pull up the Find My, I can tell what hole he's on. Like, you know, again, I don't know the courses as well as you guys do, but like I can make a good guess based on how far it is from the clubhouse, what direction it's going in, where the tee boxes are versus the holes, all of that stuff. Like, you can figure all that stuff out. Am I overreacting to be like, you have the information in your phone that you are calling me on. Before you call me, check the app and see if that answers your question.
Yeah, I can't believe
either that or I'm with Gabe. That feels like a text.
Yeah, it feels like a, hey, where are you at? If you're genuinely, because again, you're grocery shopping. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe because you've got kids. Maybe it takes you 3 hours, but I don't think it does. Like, how long does your significant other have to be gone before you go, oh, I wonder where they're at? Like, I kind of generally know what my wife's schedule is. Like, if I know, if I get home on any given day, oh, what time is it? Oh, she's probably here. Now, if she doesn't come home when she normally does, I'm going to wait for a while before I reach out and go, hey, where are you? What's going on? But it's the middle of the day on Sunday. I think he can kind of put some context clues together.
And to be perfectly honest with you, I had made my decision about going to the grocery store based on the fact that I saw him at X-Golf. I was like, oh, he's at X-Golf. It's going to be a little bit longer. I got time. I can run to the grocery store, pick up some stuff for dinner, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because he had said to me he was going to run two errands, neither of which was X-Golf. Should have been back by then. But I was like, huh, he should have been back by now. I wonder where he is.
Suddenly,
boopity-boop-a-bop-a-bop. Oh, he's at X-Golf. Cool. I'm going to go to the grocery store.
Suddenly, Chewy's theory is becoming more and more plausible. we're getting dangerously close to having Josh hit the button here about Chewy being right.
800-990-3776. Am I overreacting when I tell my husband, if you want to know where I am, check the Find My. It will tell you my exact and precise location. You do not have to call me. Oh, I just wanted to hear your voice. Sure.
Wait, so you're telling me you don't buy that?
What?
Listen to my voice right now. If you were him, would you want to hear this voice?
Hey guys, if you feel like you're running on empty, Mantality Health is here to help. Maybe you're dealing with low testosterone, you don't even realize it. You've got low energy and motivation, fatigue, you just kind of feel that tiredness all the time. You've gained a little bit of weight, especially around the belly area. Those are all signs of low testosterone, and Mantality can help. How do they do that? They focus on free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. That's what I love about working with our friends at Mantality. It is a customized treatment solution. It's not one size fits all. You're going back, you're checking in, making sure your testosterone levels are exactly where they need to be, and if your dosages need to change at all. And then the results are fantastic. Your energy comes back, your belly fat burns off, the strength, the muscle strengthens, and you feel like yourself again. You're confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So what are you waiting for? Don't let low testosterone hold you back. You can be at your best for you and your family. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book that first appointment today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like instead of a, huh.
Yeah, but that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I suppose we can save the Trayvon Diggs conversation for tomorrow. We will all be here and still time before the Bears-Packers game, but do you want to see him out there getting snaps, getting reps for the defense in this, a do-or-die, win-or-go-home game? We'll talk about that as the show rolls on this week. But to bring it back to the question we asked at the beginning of the show, you have these options. How should the Packers be viewed headed into the playoffs? A dangerous underdog, an injured but competitive team, a team that got hot too early, or the number 7 seed nobody fears? Sounds like the general consensus here is either a dangerous underdog or an injured but competitive team. Although, Chewy, you think nobody fears the Packers. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the fourth one, I could go with the fourth one as well. The 7th seed that nobody fears. I mean, I just don't know. Granted, whatever happened in Minnesota, but you're going into the playoffs, 4 straight losses. I don't know what your confidence level can be. So we're going to find out.
Yeah, the 4 straight losses doesn't give a lot of confidence, if we're being honest, right? If you're putting the pros and cons together, that would be something that you throw into the cons as far as how likely are they to win. But I agree with you, Gabe. I think they match up well against this Bears team. I think they have shown to be a good team at times. And I guess we're all hoping that it comes together when they take the field on Saturday night.
Yeah, if you win the game on Saturday, then you worry about the next week. But this is a good matchup for this team because we've seen it on the field. They're able to do things to take advantage of that Bears defense. They're able to move the football. Now the Packers have to come up with their own solutions to especially stop the run. But I think this is the type of defense, especially it would have been scarier to me for Jordan not to play for 2.5 weeks, to play a defense like the Eagles versus playing a defense like this. I think that's just a complete world of difference of there's going to be some rust to knock off. I don't care what he says. There's some rust to knock off. And I think it's easier to knock off that rust when you're facing a bottom third defense.
I agree.
Wilde and Tausch will continue this conversation, Bears, Packers preview, and whatnot, here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.